Jowson, you should drop that beat to start the show before I put split pea baby food on my hot dog.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Romantic Truth Podcast. Please be advised that content of this show is for a mature audience 18 years and older due to language and subject matter. Now, without further ado, here is your host, Jowson.
Knowing when you're in love can vary from person to person, but common signs include feeling a deep connection, caring deeply for someone's well-being, thinking about them often, and wanting to spend time with them. It's also often accompanied by a sense of joy, fulfillment, and a desire to support and nurture the other person.
Hi everyone, Jowson with you here, Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby, keeping it real. Alright, this episode is about love. We're going to talk about it. It's an ambiguous term, means different things to different people. You could ask 100 people what love means to them, and about maybe 20% of them will say the same thing, with the other 80% going in their own different direction. Here's the way it goes. Now, there are five things to let you know that you're in love. Feelings for a person, caring for that person, thinking of that person, spending time, quality time with that person, and the joy and fulfillment you get in that person's presence. But there's another sixth one, exemptions for that person. So even when you meet that person, you may have your standards and everything intact, your boundaries and all the rest of that. But if you're firing on those first five things, that exemption clause in there, and we all have them. And the reason why we have them is that person may measure up and hit all the dots on all the things, but there may be one thing that you might not like about that person or that may be kind of cumbersome. And guess what you do? You exempt them. You give them a pass. You let them behind the velvet rope. Person you don't like, one thing, they're not going to meet all these five. And guess what you do with that person? Your standards are so high, they're like the damn Great Wall of China. You're not getting in. Now, there are three contexts that people also use when applying this. One is culture. The other is personal, is in regards to preferences. This is the thing that the exemption is actually housed under. And the last one, of course, is situation. Now, these are also factors that will determine, in many ways, who's acceptable and who's not. You know, we base it on culture, for instance. What you're doing is not only basing it on culture, but in America and many of the Western states, we're basing it on race. If you look at many of the Western nations throughout this world, especially Latin America, United States, race is a big factor. That's a big determiner of who's valuable and who's not. Let's take away the political correctness for a moment. Let's be honest. You go to Mexico, Latin America. If you have blonde hair, blue eyes, let's face it, you're valued. If you're indigenous, dark skin, you're not. That holds true also in America and many of the Western nations. You're being punished for something that you had no control over. You're being denied based on something that someone else has made a judgment on and have tried to qualify throughout the centuries through religion, God, and everything else without any valid justification. So what this means then, we don't think about it, but our own personal biases as far as culture, race, and even some of the constructs that we've made as human beings to separate ourselves will impact the choices we make in people. As far as who's going to be our lover. And it's pathetic that we have developed as human beings to such a sophisticated level as humans, where we can think for ourselves, that we can't even make our own minds up because we have primal thinking people still under the impression that just because you're the same color, you're the same culture, that you're going to get along. If that was the case, the majority of people who divorce are of the same race. So that right there tells you that that whole line of thinking is fucked up. Because if it wasn't, these people would be more compatible, correct? Now let's go on. Sorry about the noise in the background, folks. I'm just putting another bag in the waste basket. Please forgive me for that noise. I hate that noise when I hear it on playback every once in a while. Personal preferences and choice. This is the thing that sometimes come in conflict with the cultural decision you made. I'm of one race, I'm of one culture, one background, one ethnicity. But I'm in love with someone else that has those five characteristics that I'm really looking for. Or it could be someone that's sought after, a white person seeking a minority woman or a minority man. And those five characteristics, really six characteristics, outweigh the first context of culture. The personal preference outranks the culture. Now, in certain instances, culture will trump your personal preference. And in this case, what you're doing it for is for society. In other words, you're finding someone to love based on acceptability by a broader group of people, family, friends, and so forth. And your priorities at the tail end. And you always say, well, I stay within my group because that's all I know. In other words, you're keeping your head down because of the fact that that person would be acceptable to people that you honor and look up to. But at some point, those people that you honor and look up to are going to die and pass away. And then what happens? It may not have been the person you really wanted to choose, but you did it out of convenience. And then there's a good possibility you may not have had all five of those elements firing off with you. Some of you may, and it may work. But there's some of you, you know damn well who I'm talking to. Those of you who did it out of convenience to shut the family up, to make everybody happy, for the family's benefit, your ass. Now, under this personal preference, everybody else's interest is negated. The next one is situational preference. The situational context. There may only be a certain amount of people you could choose from. So that's what you had to deal with. When the Spaniards came into Latin America, they're majority men. Well, there were not going to be too many Spanish women brought over. And even those women that they would bring over were the wives and relatives of the aristocrats. And a Spanish foot soldier wasn't fucking one of them. Even back in Spain, he wouldn't have a chance to even talk to her. So, what was his only option? To sleep with the indigenous population. So you have those situational things going on. An African-American woman in Boise, Idaho, for instance. Odds are, she might wind up with a white man. By comparison, they're in the majority. Just using this as an example. So, these three contexts are very important when you're making your decisions. And usually, you'd want the personal to outweigh the other two. To outweigh culture and to outweigh situation. Gives you more options. Because then you could choose for what you want. Not what you can get under situational situation or what you're allowed under cultural constraints. Hope I'm making sense. Now, people express their compassion and passion, but their passion for people whether it's verbal, it could be written, it could be through gestures, or it could be through behavior. Now, verbal doesn't necessarily mean speaking. The person could actually sing you a song. Monica used to love to hear me sing to her. Put on that red dress and those high heels and some of that sweet perfume. Girl, that looks good on you. Let me stop. I used to love that shit, though. Abracadabra, form of a bedroom. Let me stop. But here's the thing. Just add a little candlelight. Let me stop. And the scent of your sweet perfume, girl. Hocus pocus. Now you're wearing that little dress that I like. Now don't lose focus. Cause what I'm gonna show you tonight, I can do magic. Oh. But here's the thing, folks. When it comes down to the way a person expresses their passion for you, it could be in different ways. It could be artistic. I told you, when Monica's birthday came up one year, what the hell do you buy a woman that already has everything she wants and probably can buy you and everything else? She told me before birthday, I want you to do something that comes from you. Never buy me anything. I want you to do something that comes from you. Well, I wrote her poems and stuff like that, and I wrote her a short story one year. And this other year, what I decided to do was to draw a portrait of her nude on a big piece of canvas with white gesso and Conte crayon. And it was kind of cool because she had just gotten out of the bed, and I had to pose on a stool in front of the vanity with the sheet barely covering her. That shit was sexy. That damn picture was so good, I damn near wanted to fuck it myself. But I had the real thing right in front of me. But here's the thing. She appreciated it. She really, genuinely appreciated it. Showed it to everybody. Family. They loved it. I loved it too, and the results from it. But here's the thing. Expressing your love to your partner is very important. But let's take it back a notch. We're not really in love with this person yet because they don't know that we love them. We have those feelings, though. It's more than a feeling. We have it. But we don't quite know how to convey it. Now, a lot of you ladies have problems when it comes to men that you're trying to convert from friend to lover. Because you've written in about this, and some of you have taken the long way home, not the one by Supertramp, but some of you have taken the long way home. In other words, you've decided what I'm going to do is have this long period of us being platonic friends when I can observe this individual before I make the choice to be with him as his lover, provided that he wants me to be that. Now, a couple of things here, ladies, with this. Many of you missed the boat on this because it might be easier for you to actually start out. And I know you want to start out as friends and get to know them and everything and then do that. You can do both of those. You can do it in tandem. You don't have to go that long road of let's be friends for like 5 or 6 years. And then say something to the effect of, I think we need to advance our relationship a little bit more. I think we need to go in and make that next step. Ladies, let me tell you something. Depending on the guy, and depending on how you appeal to him, it's going to dictate what he does next when you make that revelation. Now, there's only been a couple of women in my history that I took him up on that idea. Cassie was one of them. Well, she's still my friend. But we don't communicate as much. And Victoria was the other one. And Victoria was a little bit different. We had been friends for 3 years. And she took me to her side one day and she said, "Something I need to talk to you about." I said, "What's that?" She said, "I got feelings for you. And I don't know what to do with them." Well, we found out what to do with them that night. It was more than a feeling. But here was the problem. I saw why many men chose not to be with this gorgeous woman. And she was gorgeous. But we always kept it cordial, professional until that night. I don't know what got in both of us. We just started some gut bucket fucking. It was awful. It was awful. I'm sure you'll probably find all kind of stains on the damn light fixtures and shit. But the interesting thing was, she would go and pursue a relationship and talk herself out of it. She gave me every reason why she should not be in a relationship with me or with any man. And then got mad when I pointed that out. And she threw the friendship away afterwards. Now, I'm not mad at her for doing that. I didn't really vilify her for doing that, because that's what she was accustomed to. That was her cycle of behavior. And I hit a button when I asked her. I said, "So you've done this before with other people." And that was the match that burned the bridge. See, the thing you have to learn too, folks, is when you are dealing with someone who have feelings for you, and you point things out and it's a sensitivity for them, you don't have to vilify them. The only thing you have to remember is, if you do this, what happens then? They have a decision to make. They can own it or they can deny it, right? But what you're bringing it to their attention is not to embarrass them. It's to let them know that you know. Now, a wise person would say, "Well, since you found that out, you could help me." An ignorant, defensive person is going to say, "Fuck you, I don't need you." Which side of the fence would you want to be on? Now, the other thing we have to look at here. As I told you, love is ambiguous. Love can mean something to different people. I never forget, I met a lady during a mixer one night among many, many women back in the day. And something wasn't right with her because she was really kind of in my face. She wanted to dance, we danced. She wanted to go to the hors d'oeuvre table, we went there. She wanted champagne, we got champagne. But this woman was on my ass like she was already in a relationship with me. I couldn't do anything by myself. No joke, folks. I went to the men's room. She waited outside the men's room until I got out. Now, I didn't say anything to her, but it was kind of like, I felt like I was being smothered. So when we sat down and we got the hors d'oeuvres and everything, we sat down eating. She casually started taking things off my plate and putting it in her mouth and wanting me to hug her. Okay, that's fine. I met this woman about 9 o'clock that night. By 11 o'clock that night, she was tilting her head up with her lips puckered, ready for a kiss. Now, I didn't mind. And some of the women that I had known who frequented the mixes, they were teasing me. Some of the fellas were teasing me about it. And then one of my friends, I'll never forget it, Goldie said, "Damn, she is quick. She's working on you, like, real quick." I'm like, "Yeah." I said, she said, "You better slow that down, because the way y'all going, it's like," and I'm like, "I just have to see." So after the mixer was over with them, we were going to the cars. She said, "Oh, I'm following you home." Not asked, told me that she's following me home. And she did. I tried to lose her ass a couple of times. I tried to make it through a red light. That motherfucker made it through the same red light. I was like, "Damn." She followed my ass back to the apartment. Gets out, Now I'm ready to walk to the gate to get in. She's like, wait. I'm like, oh shit, she's coming in. I thought she was just gonna follow me home and then leave. I go inside. She's sitting on the couch, taking off her shoes. Takes the remote. She's turning on HBO, her favorite show on HBO. Like, this motherfucker done came in my apartment and started taking over. Now, I didn't say anything because I was getting kind of confident. She wasn't a bad looking woman at all. A little bit thinner than I usually would choose. I come back into the living room after getting in my pajamas, trying to be respectful, right? Because I already knew she's not leaving this place tonight. Because if she's gone this far, done all this, she ain't leaving tonight. I don't know this woman. I knew a few things about her from what we shared in our conversation at the mixer, but I really didn't know who the hell she was. Found out later on, she worked at MGM, the studios, the motion picture studios. And that was cool. I look up. I'm asking her if she wanted anything to drink, blah, 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 blah. She's like, no, I'm fine. I start smelling this waft of femininity. Ladies, you know that smell I'm talking about when you take off those pantyhose and you're not wearing any panties underneath? It's not a pungent odor or nothing like that. It was like kind of a pleasant vaginal odor. And she had placed the damn pantyhose beside her. And she says, well, do you have a t-shirt or something I can put on? I go and I get her one of the company t-shirts that I had that was a few extra sizes too large. And she got it. Gave me a kiss, started hugging me. And this woman straight up told me, I love you. Now, by this time, I'm intellectually backpedaling, emotionally backpedaling. How the fuck are you going to love me and we don't even know each other? And I said, how can you say something like that so soon? She said, because I said what I said. Now, I sat down on the sofa with her. And old girl went and put her leg over my thigh. Now, by this time, the t-shirt has gone up to her hip. So I'm seeing nothing but action down there. Well, it happened right there on that sofa. That sofa could talk. Some of the things that it would say. Now, what was really weird, we had our little interlude that night. And she tells me, I gotta go next morning. She says, I gotta go. I gotta go to work. I'll give you a call later. And I'm like, wow, that's a break from the enthusiasm from the night before. She leaves. I go to work. Everything's fine. I come back to the apartment. My voice messages, because back in that time, you didn't have the technology you had today. You had answering machines. And they usually would take about 20 messages. And you had a recorder in there with the tape on it. That was full. So I started playing the messages back. I think I'm sorry that the two of us got together so soon. That was one message, something to that effect. The next message says something to the effect of, I know you probably think of me as a whore. The next message, I was just lonely and looking for someone to love. And that's the way the messages delineated throughout as I was going through them. It was like she was telling me this whole psychological history in those little vignettes of things on the answering machine. And the last one, she asked me to erase all of the messages because she didn't mean anything she said. Well, she came over the following weekend. Now, we hadn't talked because she wasn't answering my calls or nothing. So I said, well, hell, I'm not going to waste my time trying to call her. I put her in the forgotten zone. She shows up. I think it was a Friday night. She's in tears. She got a little shopping bag. And she got a little overnight bag. Little overnight thing. And she said, do you want me to come in? I said, yeah, you can come on in. She comes in. In the shopping bag, she has bought me 3 polo shirts, cologne, all of this stuff. And I said, well, you know, maybe we need to talk about a few things here. Where do you see us going? What I mean, we started out this way, and she said, I'm lonely and I need to be loved. I don't care what happened to the relationship, as long as we can love each other, let's just see where it goes. I just want to be held by somebody. I want to be loved by somebody. I want to be kissed. I want to kiss, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, okay. I said, but here are my concerns. I said, eventually I know I'm going to have to get serious in a relationship at some point in life. I don't know if I'm at that point yet. I expected her to pack up all her stuff, pack up the gifts, everything and leave. Oh no. Old girl goes into the bathroom, comes back, she's in lingerie. And she's telling me, we're gonna do what we can. And once again, my dumb ass went for it. And she says, you know, there's a new mixer coming up in a couple of weeks. I said, yeah, I think it's out in Catalina, which it was. She says, well, you won't be going. Neither will I. Oh, shit. You done fucked up with 4 left feet. You gonna tell me I can't go somewhere and you're in my place? See me? Now, I still didn't know where this woman lived. She said she was single. I didn't know shit else about her beyond that. Didn't even know where I was calling with the phone number she gave me, which was a 714 number. So what I decided to do one day, to my credit, but I really felt creepy doing this. She left that Sunday. She stayed with me the whole weekend. She left that Sunday. And so what I decided to do was to follow her home without her knowing. I get down to, she lived near La Habra. She gets out of the car at this house. There was a man in the front yard, and they started going at it. They started arguing. I mean, pointing fingers and yelling. That was my answer. That was my answer. I didn't call her anymore. She left message after message after message. Then I came home from work one day. There was a long-ass note on my door. She had written in a notebook paper. She doesn't want to be ignored. She's made a commitment to me, and she wants me to acknowledge it. These were all the things going on in her head. Now, true enough, 2 weeks later, the mixer was in Catalina. I didn't go. A mutual friend of mine, one of the ones that teased me when I first met her, she told me about it. And she went. She said, your girl acted a fool there. I said, what do you mean, my girl? Apparently, she had met another guy. Things didn't go well. And she nutted up. She acted a fool. After getting that note from her, I never heard from her again. And I was thankful. Now, I don't know personally if she knew that I was following her that night. But I know one thing for damn sure. When I saw her arguing with that guy in the front yard, that looked more like a relationship than it did a roommate situation or anything else. And I wasn't going to take any chances. But I did like the mixers. Some of the ones I didn't like, because some of you have asked about those. Basically, you would go and buy tickets, or you could pay for a membership. And they would have these gatherings at different hotels. They would have them at different venues, wherever they could pretty much rent space. On yachts sometimes, restaurants, different places. And it was a place where you would, for about 4 hours, just mix and mingle with people. And then, of course, when the advent of speed dating and all those things came about, that kind of setup was very popular. And then they had the video dating where they had the booths where you could actually do a video introduction. And then the other people could come in and look at your video, because they would be playing videos back to back. And it had a little thing with your little name and your number on it. And then you could be chosen by someone. And then they would set you up to meet the person. They had little things like that. And of course, they had these little giveaways where you get these little bullshit gifts. Stuff that you could probably buy at the store yourself, but, you know, sweaters, T-shirts, that kind of thing. But it was cool, though. It was cool because you got a chance to mingle and meet a lot of people. This was before you had all of these social meetups like you do now. Now, the one thing to keep in mind, and I had to learn this lesson from this lady, and that was you may find someone that may be blindly attracted to you. And a lot of times you're flattered by it. And she was not a bad looking woman at all. But what I had to look at was she was very secretive. I didn't know that much about her. When I would ask questions, she would deflect. She'd change the subject, talk about something else. She didn't like who she was. She didn't like the situation she was in. And probably didn't like the person she chose. Because I'm sure she was in another relationship, but she swore up and down she was single. I have no way of knowing whether or not she was or not, but I do know one thing. Normal people don't stand in the front yard and argue the way they did, and not in some way have a relationship. But these are things that you run into. Hell, I remember one time I met a lady at a mixer. She lived out in Diamond Bar, California. And she wanted me to come over to her place that weekend because she was going to cook some shrimp on the barbie. She was going to have all of this stuff done. And she had invited a few friends over. And she was going to introduce me to her social circle. It was about maybe 2.5 hours before I got ready to hit the road to get out the Diamond Bar from Santa Monica. She calls me up. She said, hey, have you left yet? I said, no. She says, well, I'm going to have to cancel tonight. Okay. I'm thinking something has come up, and therefore, you know, it's an emergency or whatever. And then she paused for a minute. She says, my ex-husband's going to be here, and I don't want the two of you to get into anything yet. I said, ex-husband? Okay. I said, well, hope you have a nice evening and so forth, right? And then she went on and told me, because her conscience was eating her ass up. She says, well, we're not divorced yet. I hung up. Never spoke to her again. Fellas, a married woman that's trying to get with you while you're single is just like a half-open can of food that's spoiling. It's a limited shelf life and it's of no value. You know, it's like somebody's opened up something. It still looks good, but you're afraid to try it because you don't know whether or not it's contaminated. That's what it's like. Now, I've had all six of these emotional sentiments for women throughout the years. I would say about maybe 8 women throughout my lifetime where all 6 of these sentiments had kicked in. And I'm talking about immediately. I'm not talking about something that I had to, you know, sit down and work through. I'm talking about where it hit. And Monica was one of those women. That's what was fucked up about. Because I didn't like the control I lost. And this is one thing that you have to keep in mind when you fall in love with someone. Sometimes you'll lose control and you'll get pissed off at yourself because you can't stop yourself. It's like a fucking magnetometer got your ass. You're like, wait a minute now. I got feelings for her. I really like her a lot. And I care about her. And I'm thinking about her ass. And see, that's what gets most of us. The thinking part of it. When you're thinking about that person, you become consumed to a certain degree. Not only about what they're doing. Because you got to remember, what do phone calls and text originate from? A thought. And when it's directed towards a person, it's about that person. Then I wanted to spend time, more time with Monica. But I didn't want to get to a point where I was just smothering her. But what I didn't realize, she wanted me to spend that time with her. And then it got to a point, every time I visited her, which I had no complaints, she said, oh, you're not going to leave me hanging. Whenever you come over to see me, you must make love to me. At least give me that to go to sleep with in comfort. That was a requirement of hers. Now, I didn't mind it at all. Because when she made love, it was passionate love. It was the kind of shit that if she asked you to marry, and fellas, let me tell you something about women. Don't let her get you where you're about ready to bust a nut and she asks you, do you love me? You're like, yeah! Will you marry me? Yeah! Because some of you know damn well that some of these women will stop stroking and you'd be right there almost ready to get in the mid-nut. And then she won't have a damn conversation. Because that's one thing about women. They can cut off their pee real quickly. And they can stop fucking and carry on a conversation like it ain't shit. Those are two things women can do very well. Dick be inside of her and she's like, oh, wait a minute. Who is Janine? Janine was just, I don't know where that name came from. No, we're going to find out who's Janine. I said, if you don't come up with an answer quick, that's when she's going to slide your dick out of. And at that point, once she gets up and then start getting dressed or going into the shower to get, your ass is done. Because they had that methodology, that way of doing things. So now, those are things you want to consider. When it came down to the joy and fulfillment, I actually felt bad when I wasn't around Monica. I felt bad. I didn't feel happy when I was not around. I felt lost in a way. And she used to tell me she felt the same way. And it was a fucked up feeling. And I got on, I was gonna sing that song, I don't wanna have that feeling anymore. But it was weird. But see, you know when the thing is right, when you guys have this reciprocity, when you guys are doing almost the same thing to be close to each other, to be with each other. Shit, there have been times Monica and I called up each other at the same time. I never forget that one time she had a parlor car to come to my place with her in it, and I went to her place, and we missed each other, and we were calling each other. I'm calling her from her place, she's calling me from the car where she is. Because we were into each other like that. But let me tell you something, folks. You will run across a situation in your life, whether it's with your wife, girlfriend, or whomever, where that person's going to show you how you should be loved for the first time. And that shit is going to be etched in your brain for life. Because you'll know, it's just like winning a championship. You know what you had to do to get there, right? And no matter how many seasons you go through without a championship, You know the reason why you never made it to that championship throughout those seasons and how you made it that one time. Well, that's the same way. Because I can personally tell you, that woman showed me how I should be loved. And she showed me also how I should love a woman. In some cases, her in particular. But in general, the mechanics. See, it's a whole different thing when a woman gives a damn about a man. Because ladies, the best way to keep your man is to love him. You know, on the Doors, they got that song, Riders on the Storm. You better listen to it. Girl, you gotta love your man. Take him by the hand. Make him understand. There's truth to those words. Because here's the thing. As men, we're used to being used, marginalized. And I'm not painting us as victims, but this is the way society sees us as a whole. And so what happens, generation after generation of women don't know how to keep a man or treat a man. They know how to get him. They get him by wearing less clothes. But they don't know how to keep him when it comes to the very things that they should have developed outside of their bodies, their emotions, their logic, their love. Folks, when you have been loved by someone that made you feel better about yourself, you hit a gold mine. When they've raised the standards for you so that you understand what you deserve, it'll go, man. Now, I got to address something that one of you listeners sent to me. And I'm going to read the email. It's from a lady by the name of Bonnie. And Bonnie's out of Waycross, Georgia. And she writes the following. I have listened to your show now for 3 years. I have learned a whole lot. I do have a question for you. Maybe you can answer this for me. My girlfriend is a mother of four. And she says that she is not settling for any man with children, any man that makes less than $60,000 a year, and any man without a college degree. I took issue with her demands. My husband has none of those qualifications that she had mentioned, and we've been married now for almost 15 years. She, on the other hand, has none of those qualifications either. And she's demanding that a man meets her criteria. Here is the thing that I find very ironic. Every time she pulls this stunt with men, she complains because they sleep with her and they leave her. Could you please, at some point on your show, send out a message to her so that she gets it? I would appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, my dear, let's put it out there. Ma'am, you think too highly of yourself in order to put yourself in a position thinking that some man is going to drop down to your high standards. See, your high standards are an insult to some guys, ma'am. You are at a total disadvantage for these guys. They would trip over your standards, not measure up to them. You are in no position to make any demands. And when I say this, I'm talking about discriminatory demands. Oh yeah, you're reaching for what you want. But you can't filter out what you get, because that's all you're going to get. If you don't have any of the criteria qualifications as your friend in Waycross, say it, that you don't. You have no business making demands of anyone. Physical preferences? Yeah. But as far as other situational demands? Nope. Sorry. You'd be by yourself. Because you're dreaming of him tonight. And guess what? He won't be holding you tight. And there's no place in the world you'd rather be than alone with a pillow tucked between your knees. That's what's going to happen, man. You could have those standards as a goal, but have it stratified all the way down. Like, for instance, myself. My standard, my requirements for a woman are very low. Usually, I have more of a problem with the women that I'm interested in having low self-esteem. Because I like a woman that's around 5'9 and up, thick hips, big breast, long hair. But the problem is, when I do find women like that, a lot of times they have low self-esteem. They have a complex about their size. They have a complex about whether or not a guy is serious about them. They have a complex. They might have been sexually assaulted when they were younger. And that is another issue in itself. So, what I'm getting at, ma'am, is this. You need to broaden your spectrum of men to help you find a guy that's going to really work with you and love you. See, what you're going for is some material shit. It's too late for that. You should have done that shit before you had the kids. No fault to the kids. No, kids are exempt from any kind of argument. You should have done this well before then. Because, see, that was that you period in life. That me, my, I period. Where everything you did came for you first. But you chose to share your life with children. And now that you've done that, you can't go for that like you used to, dear. You got obligations. And you have men that can discriminate against you based on those obligations. See, when you didn't have those obligations, you had more versatility. And they're not the problem. The kids are not the problem. They didn't ask to be here. That was all you're doing with the father. So the problem, ma'am, is the decision you made with the fathers you had for those children. Not with the children. They're innocent. I hope they have a wonderful, flourishing, and great life. They deserve it. I think you need to rethink your priorities. Now, ma'am, keep in mind, I'm only going by what was left in this email by your friend, because she really cares. If she didn't give a fuck about you, she wouldn't have written it. So don't get mad at her either. And if I didn't want to see you do better based on her as a listener, I would have never read it. Good luck to you. Now, the other thing too about this particular feeling, caring, thinking, time, fulfillment, and joy that we get. There are some people out there, it's like a trigger for them every time they see someone that they're interested in. They go into dumbass mode, and this is what they do. They fire on those cylinders for everybody that they're interested in. This shouldn't happen that way. And one thing that I've found too, desperate people do this a lot when they are just firing off of those cylinders where everybody appeals to them in that same way. There's no discretion. You don't fall in love with everyone you see of the opposite sex. There are some people that swear up and down that that's what they're doing. And we know that's ridiculous. They might do it, but most people don't do it, do we? No. And there's no such term as does we. Somebody had written in an email with does we. And used to could is not a term either. Just like sister brother. But here's the thing. With these relationships, folks, you got to remember, when you start feeling those things that I've described, these are the milestones for you before you actually make that decision to go forward. it kind of gives you some sort of bearing on where things are going to go. And that's a good thing. It's a vital thing. Because with this, you'll know when you got the right person. You're going to feel it. And even if you're making a mistake and that person turns out to be a jerk, jackass, or jerkette, and jackassette, or whatever, at least you tried by making the best decision you could. You see, there's a distinction. That's the reason why I look at women who were married and failed at a marriage. They're divorced. I don't look at them as losers. Unless they've done it past three times. I'm just going by statistics then. But for the most part, because I know it's them and it's not the situation. In more cases than you think. But when it's a failed marriage, two failed marriages, there may be a pattern of behavior that's her fault for true. But also, I look at it from the standpoint, at that moment she thought she had made the best choice she possibly could in a man, and it didn't pan out. But at least she made a decision and a judgment. She tried. And some of you ladies try so hard until it works to you as a disadvantage. So you have to know when a dead situation is working, when a bad situation is not working, you gotta let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And there's nothing wrong with losing a relationship. It happens to more people than you think. You want to exist in a relationship, not a relationship. You want one to have that P at the end? That's the successful one. The one with the T at the end? That's the fucked up one. So don't put yourself in that. You don't have to. You don't have to set yourself back. And I know these feelings are going to always keep you wondering. It does for all of us. But after a while, you learn how to manage these feelings just like you manage anything else in life. And I know it's easier said than done because some of you guys are walking around pussy whip right now. Some of you ladies, your dick dangled. You know damn well. Probably have to go to class to pass a final exam. You got ready to write the answer on the paper. The first thing that came out was dick! You even have a cold and you start sneezing. Instead of you saying that chew, you say dick. It happens. People get pussy whipped. People get dick whipped. Hell, I remember one time Monica was laying it on so thick on me, boy, I thought I had to go to a rehab center. And I told her, honey, what's wrong? Honey, I have to face some facts. I'll probably need to go to pussy rehab. I'm addicted. I can't help your drug. I'm addicted to your ass. That's the way it was. I became a pussy addict. It happens. But the one thing that I want to leave you with, more so than anything, folks, is this. You will have these feelings for someone at some time in your life. It concerns you and should concern you if you start having these feelings about everyone that you meet of the opposite sex, because that could be a problem with you. But as long as it's kind of spaced out for certain people, you'll probably notice a sense of normalcy with it. But after all, I'm not a clinician. If you're having more problems, like I always say, go to a professional. I love for them to deal with your problems. I got my own. But I love y'all. I want you to have a wonderful day, evening, or morning. And I will talk to you on tomorrow. Please don't forget to share the link. You want to leave a message. anchor.fm/romantictruthmessage. You may also send us an email, romantictruthpodcast@gmail.com. Take care.
Men and women may show their love and affection in various ways, which can vary based on cultural, personal, and situational factors. Some common ways include verbal expressions of love, physical touch, acts of service, spending quality time together, giving gifts, and showing support and understanding. However, it's important to remember that individuals express love differently, so paying attention to their specific actions and communication styles is key to understanding their feelings.
We at Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jorzen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jausan in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jorzen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.